We're glad to have you here this morning. I was thinking earlier today that I had not done one thing I should have done, and that is to introduce my wife to you. Martha, would you stand up? Stand up. There you go. As you can see, I am married way above myself, and and that always makes me feel good. And we're glad. She's so faithful and has been here, and has. I was going to mention the fact that for the last, 20 years, we've read the Bible through every year. We basically have worn out half a dozen Bibles. It's terrible to have a worn out Bible. You know that? What do you do with it? You just can't throw it in the trash, right? And so it's an interesting thing. Actually, the Jews had a had a special ceremony whenever a Bible got old and soiled. They would take it out and go through a celebration and would destroy it, which is great for respect, but it means we have very few old manuscripts left because they were burnt. So it's hard. What do you do with an old Bible? And you've got one. It's your house. You've got one now. Pages are missing. The cover's off of it. You don't ever use it because it'll fall apart. Why don't you throw it away? The Word of God is something special, and we just don't want to do that. But so we've gone through the Bible about 20 times and worn out several of them. And as we go through, you notice that you have these marvelous things that you read over and over and over again, and you don't remember you read them. Until all of a sudden you read it one time and it jumps out and hits you in the face. Well, I want to share with you this morning something that came about several years ago. And I spent 2 or 3 years trying to say, and I know God put that in there for a reason. And we just need to kind of understand what it's all about. So I want to share with you an interesting story. He read the first half of it earlier. I want to read the second half. Who was it? Paul Harvey always said, now for the rest of the story. It's found in 1 Kings a little bit further than what he was reading, in the 13th chapter, and I want to begin with verse 14. He said that he'd said to him, the king had said, come and stay with me, and he had, he said, I can't. Now in verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and said to him all that the man of God had done in that day in Bethel, the words also which he had spoken to the king. And they told their father, and their father said to them, which way did he go? And his son showed him the way which the man of God had who come from Judah had gone. And he said to his sons, you saddle up the ass for me. So they saddled the ass for him, and he mounted it. And he went up after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you or go in with you. Neither will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by the way that you came. And he said to him, and the old man said to him, I also am a prophet as you are. And an angel of God said to me, by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your home, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. And so he went back with him, ate bread and in his house and drank water. And as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet, the old prophet who had brought him back. And he cried to the man of God who had come from Judah, thus saith the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, and you have not kept the commandment which the Lord God had commanded you, but have come back and have eaten bread and drank water in the place of which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your body shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. And after he had eaten bread and drank, he saddled up his ass for the prophet whom he had brought him back, and he went away. And a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown in the road. Now that is an intriguing little story that I must have read a dozen times, and somehow it never stuck with me. Until one time I read it and said, I know God has a word in that that we need to understand. And so I spent a couple of years looking and thinking about it, and finally wanted to share with you briefly this morning what I think God is saying in this marvelous little story. We don't even know the name of the prophet. We know that he came from Judah and went to Israel, which is like leaving Atlanta, Georgia, and going to New York City to preach. They weren't real crazy about folks from Atlanta. And so with that point, he went up there and began his preaching experience. And I read that story. I said, what is all this about? What's God trying to say us? And three or four things I want to share with us this morning. First of all, it's all dealing with God's word, because this is a key thing we all need to be aware of. First of all, God's word is clear. We sometimes have the idea that God's playing hide-and-go-seek and whatever. No, it's really not. God's word is clear. God had said to this prophet from Judah, I want you to go up to Bethel. I want you to preach the message I have for you against the king. Then I want you to not spend the day, don't eat anything, don't drink any water, and come on back home a different way. Now, what is there about that that's not clear? What is there about that? You say, well, I don't understand that. No, it's perfectly clear. We sometimes have the mistaken idea that God is playing hide-and-go-seek with us. God really is not. God's word is clear. God's not trying to keep you from knowing what's going on. God's trying to tell you what he wants in your heart and life. And we need to recognize the fact that God's word is clear. God has always been clear in what he's saying to us. He's not playing games. We need to understand that. God's word is clear when it comes to the Bible. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what is there about that you don't understand? What does all mean? That means all. Having a problem understanding what he meant by all have sinned? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, what is there about that you have a hard time understanding? The point is that God has made his word clear to us. If you just read God's word, someone said to Mark Twain one time, when I look at the Bible, there are things in there that I don't understand and they bother me. And Mark Twain said, that didn't bother me nearly as much as things I do understand. God's word is clear. God has made his word perfectly clear, and all that he says is clear. We have a difficult time with it. The Bible's clear about church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as we ought to go to church. God's word's clear about that. Well, I don't know. Yeah, we do know. God's word is clear. The Bible said if you accept Christ as your Savior, you ought to be baptized and join a church. What is there about that that's hazy? It's clear. God's word is clear about what we ought to do. We like to make it hazy, like tithing. There's one that's clear. What is tithing? Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. What is a tithe? It's a tenth, a 10%. That means whatever God has given you, in order for you to acknowledge his goodness, he asks you to return a tenth. Now, what that means is, think about it here, do the high math. If you have a dollar, put 10 cents in the envelope. Is that not clear? I had a fellow come to me one time in church I was in. He said, I need to talk to you, Pastor. I said, surely, sit down. I said, what's your problem? He said, I've got a problem I'm struggling with. He said, when I first, as it was a little boy, my parents gave me an allowance of $2. We were always in church, and my parents said, now listen, this $2 we're giving to you, you understand that a tenth of that belongs to God. So I want you every Sunday to put 20 cents in your envelope and drop it in the offering plate because the tithe belongs to God. And he said, I appreciate my parents teaching me that. And all of my life, I did that. I got me a little paper route, and I would take my little collection money, and I'd put my tithe and drop it in the offering plate. I begin cutting grass sometimes in the summertime, and I'd get the money, and I'd take a tenth of that and put it in the offering plate. Always did that. He said, I can think back and think that as long as I've lived, every nickel I've received, I've always been faithful to give back to God the tithe. I said, well, that's good for you. What's your problem? My problem is I went to school, graduated, got a real good job, and have been promoted time after time after time. Now my tithe is a considerable sum of money. I'm having a difficult time writing a check that big, to the Lord. It's a lot of money now. Now, when it was 20 cents, I could handle that. But now we're talking about a lot of money. And I need to see if there's any way I can get out of that. And I said, well, there surely is. Let's get down here on our knees and ask God to knock your salary back down to where you can tithe. Wait a minute, he said, let's not do that. You see, God's word is clear. If you're not doing that, it's not because you don't understand. It's not because, well, I don't know what he means, 10%. What is 10%? No, that's not the problem. The problem is that God's word is clear. And all that God has said is perfectly clear. We just have a difficult time sometimes understanding that or getting our mind around that. Man has always been wanting to say, I don't quite understand. Remember the story one time that Bible says a lawyer, is anything, came to tempt Christ one time and said, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, it's to love the Lord your God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and spirit. And to love your neighbors yourself. And then the lawyer said, yeah, but see, there's a problem with understanding just who is my neighbor. You see, as long as we can say God's not clear, we can always kind of wiggle out of it. Just who is my neighbor? And Christ told that marvelous little story about the Good Samaritan, in which that, in what that he was saying, your neighbor is anybody you can help. It's clear. We have a difficult time sometimes understanding, and we say we don't understand, but God's word is clear. God is trying to let us know. We try to explain away. Remember that marvelous story of the that Christ told about the rich man and Lazarus. Now, Lazarus, a rich man, had a lot of money, and Lazarus was a poor beggar that sat at his gate and begged for food. And they both died. That happens sometimes. People die. I don't know what it is in Mason County. In Jefferson County, the death rate's right at 100%. Rich or poor, begging or have all you want, someday you're going to die. And they both died. And the rich man went to hell. And the poor beggar went to heaven. In Abraham's bosom, he's there being comforted. And the rich man could see him off and said, oh, Abraham, have mercy on me. Would you get Lazarus to dip his finger in cold water and just come and touch my tongue? I am so thirsty. And in the conversation, Abraham said, I'm sorry, we can't do that. There's a fence between you and me. We can't get over there. You can't go here. We can't get over there. Well, he said, would you do something else for me? What's that? Would you send Lazarus back to my brothers? I have some brothers at home. And if they don't change their ways, they're going to end up here too. Would you have him go back and tell them what's happening? And Abraham said, no. They have Moses and the prophets. If they won't believe them, they won't believe if somebody came back from the dead. Ah, we don't know enough. The word's not clear. Let me tell you something, friend. God's word is clear. And if you're here this morning and there's something in your life you need to do, it don't say, I don't understand. Oh, you do understand. God has made his word clear all the way through over and over and over again. He said, do this and I'll bless you. Don't do that and these things are going to happen. God's word is clear. That's the first thing I see in this story is this prophet, whatever else you say, he did know what God had said. God had said to him perfectly clearly, don't eat, don't drink, come back a different route and get home. The second thing about this that I think is intriguing is the fact that God's word is powerful. This prophet went up there to see the king, went up to Bethel, which is where the king's chapel was, I guess. He walked in with the king there who was in the middle of a worship service, I guess. I mean, everybody was there. The king was there. And the prophet walked up and said, God is sick and tired of the way you're living. God is going to judge you for what you've done. God is going to send a sign that'll help you understand he's going to judge you for what you've done. With that, the king said, how dare you arrest him? And his hand locked up like that. Whoa, he says, something's going on here. I don't understand. Would you ask God to heal my hand? And the prophet prayed, heal his hand, and his hand returned to him. And then the altar suddenly split apart, broke into pieces, ashes flew everywhere, just exactly what the prophet had said was going to happen. Now, whatever, something else about God's word is powerful. We sometimes think that God can't do much anymore. Yeah, he can. God's word is powerful. God can do amazing things in people's lives if we believe it. I have seen God touch people's lives in ways that just beyond my comprehension. God's word is powerful. We were driving along the road, and I was telling Martha about a fellow that I had years ago. We had vacation Bible schools going on in Brennan and went on here. Must be all the whole world. But one time we had, and I always liked vacation Bible school and the graduation day or whatever, commencement night, whatever they have. I always wanted to save time for me to say some things because there's a lot of people come to that who won't come to anything else. So if they get them there, I want to have a shot at them. So, and so one day we had a couple that had their kids that came to vacation Bible school. They never did come to church. And they came to vacation Bible school and I did my little thing. And as you've noticed a time or two, I sometimes say funny things. He said, I hadn't been in church when somebody said something funny. We're going to go back there and go to church. So they came back, and I found out that he was the Air Force recruiter for that area, and his wife had been in the Air Force also, and they began coming to church. Lo and behold, all of a sudden, God came down, touched their lives. They made a decision to accept Christ. I baptized them. God called him into the ministry. He went off to seminary, the same one I went to, and has been pastoring churches ever since. And I find myself saying, how in the world can God take somebody like that and so completely change them? Because God's word is powerful. One of my favorite preachers is Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was pastor of a church in London about 1830 or so. I call the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. Every time my wife and I have had the privilege of going to England, we always go to the tabernacle. And he's not there anymore. He's been dead 100 years, but... Nevertheless, he did a remarkable job in this church. In fact, if you can understand this, if you were a member of that church, you got a ticket. And the only way you could get into church was at 10:30. If you had a ticket, you could get into church. Now, at 10:45, they let anybody in. And by 11, every seat was full. The aisles were filled with people sitting down there and the people standing around the thing. In fact, every once in a while, he would say, now, next week, I want no members to come. Give your ticket to somebody else, and you stay home and let them come. I've never had the nerve to do that at church I've been in, but they would have the same crowd. It was amazing what he did, and because he was so popular, everybody wanted to hear him preach. One day, a very famous atheist was going to challenge him to a debate. He said, Spurgeon, we'll rent a big hall somewhere, invite people to come, and we'll sit up there together, and you debate Christianity, and I'll debate the logic of atheism. And Spurgeon said, I'd be glad to do that. Glad to do that on one condition. What is that? When I come, I will bring with me 20 men, former alcoholics and drug addicts and criminals and thieves and robbers, murderers, and I'll bring them who've had their lives changed through the preaching of the gospel. If you'll bring with you 20 men, former derelicts and alcoholics and drug addicts who've been changed by atheism. He said, well, I can't find anybody like that. I will not waste my time debating a philosophy that can't change men's lives. God's word is powerful. God's word can change lives. I could sit the rest of the day and tell you story after story after story of people that I have seen God come down and change their lives in remarkable ways. God's word is clear. God's word is powerful. Secondly, God's word is meant to be obeyed. Don't eat, don't drink, and get home a different way. Now, we said that's not hard to understand. It's clear. And on his way back, stopped by to have a little rest there under a shade tree, and an old prophet showed up. We don't know either man's names. But this old prophet came to him and says, listen, I want you to come to my house. I heard what happened back in how you preached so powerfully to the king. I heard how the altar was split and how his hand was paralyzed. Boy, what amazing power you have. I want you to come back with me to my house and have a meal, be refreshed, have something to drink, and go on your way. And the prophet said, I can't do that. Why not? God told me not to eat, not to drink, and come back home a different way. Ah, the old prophet said, I'm a prophet just like you. And an angel of God told me, is all right. You could come on back with me and have a meal. It'd be fine. And the Bible says, and he lied to him. Let me tell you something. There are people out there today who will still lie to you and will still tell you, well, I know what the Bible says, but it doesn't mean that. Yes, it does. Well, I know the Bible used to say that was a bad thing, but now it's not a bad thing. Yes, it does. There are people out there who will still lie to you about what God has said. There have always been those folks who will lie to you about what God said. No, he didn't really mean that. That's in the olden days. Things have changed since then. Remember in the garden when Eve was talking to a serpent, a snake? Don't ever talk. Don't waste your time with a talking snake. Anytime you run into a talking snake, take that as a first thing. Don't mess with them. And as they're having the conversation, he said, can you eat of all these trees? She said, well, we can eat all of them except that one. Can't eat of that one. Oh, you can't. No, God said if we ate of that, we would die. And Satan said what? Oh, you won't really die. I can't believe that old story still going around. Of course you won't die. God told you not to do that because he knows that if you do, you'll become as wise as he is, and he's jealous of you. have always been those folks who have said, I know the Bible says don't do that, but the reason God said that because he knows how much fun it is, and he doesn't want you to have any fun. God's that great party pooper in the sky looking down and saying, wait a minute, are you giggling? I'll cut that out. No, God wants good things for you. But there have always been those folks who have said, God's changed his mind. He may have said that back then, but he doesn't mean that anymore. Yes, he does. God's word is clear, and God's word is meant to be obeyed. If God said it, that settled it. I love this bumper sticker I saw the other day. You've seen the bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. This one said, tithe if you love Jesus. Any nitwit can honk his horn. Oh, what a good way to put it. Yes, there are those who will tell you God won't. I tell you God will. God's word is easily understood. God's word is powerful. God's word is meant to be obeyed. And finally, God's word is dangerous to ignore. The young prophet, got on his donkey, headed on back home, hadn't gone very far, and a lion jumped out, killed him, laid him out there dead on the ground. You do not want to say, when God says do this, you don't want to say, I don't think so. If God is speaking to you about doing something, you had better take seriously what he says. God's word is clear. God's word is powerful. And God's word is not to be ignored. And God's word is dangerous. There are times that God speaks to us. There's maybe some right here today. And God's been speaking to you for a long time about something you ought to do. Perhaps it ought to be to be baptized, to join the church, to make a confession of your faith in Christ. Perhaps to change something in your life, to change something you're doing, to confess to God some sin you need to deal with. There are things in your life that today you know perfectly clear. It's not what God wants you to do. And the issue right now is, am I going to be obedient or am I going to say, nah, I don't think God really meant what he said. There are those folks that say otherwise. Remember that verse in the Bible in Galatians 1:8 where Paul is speaking, and I love what he says. If I or an angel from heaven comes down and tells you something different than the gospel I preach to you, the Greek word is anathema, the literal in the English is to hell with him. If anybody comes down and tells you anything other than all have sinned and that the weight of salvation is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If anybody tells you anything other than that, to hell with them. They're wrong. I don't care what they say. I don't care how powerful they may be. I don't care if they are or tell you they're a prophet. If what they say contradicts the word of God, be careful about listening to that. God's word is clear. God's word is powerful. God's word is meant to be obeyed. God's word is a dangerous thing to ignore. Shall we bow our heads this morning? Perhaps you're this morning, I don't know who you are. God sometimes doesn't tell me everything. I don't have a gift of wisdom or anything else. But may be someone here this morning, God has placed upon my heart the fact that somebody here this morning says there's some things in my life that are not right, and I know they're not. There may be a relationship that's not right. There may be some sin in my life that's not right. There may be something that I need to do, and up until this point, I have not done it yet. But I know I ought to. I know it's what God wants me to do. I know it's what God needs me to do. And this morning, without waiting anymore, I want to say, Lord, your word is clear. I know what it is you want me to do. I know what it is you want me to be involved in. I know that your word is powerful, that you can change my life in ways I never dreamed possible. I know that your word is not to be ignored. I know sometimes it's very dangerous to ignore it. And so if you're here this morning and perhaps God is speaking to you about something in your life, you know what I'm talking about. As if I was talking to you personally, you know what I'm talking about. Don't let anybody tell you, well, it doesn't matter. God changed his mind. God hadn't changed his mind. But if you're here this morning and God is speaking to you about some decision you need to make, I invite you right now, right where you are, just right where you are, say, Lord, I don't know how he knows. I don't know how he knows what I'm going through, but he does. And I want this morning to confess to you. I want to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to change that situation. I'm going to listen to your word. I'm going to obey your voice. And I know that you will bless me through that. Would you make that commitment right now? I'm going to have a word of prayer. If you're here this morning, just lift your hand and say, pray for me. And I'll just pray. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world, but just lift your hand and say, just pray for me. There's something I've been going through, and I need to have the courage to make that decision. Just lift your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Our Father, you've seen these hands, but more importantly, as you know our hearts. Lord, there are these times in our lives that we struggle along trying to tell you it's not clear, we don't quite understand, when in reality we do understand. It is clear. And that you've been calling upon us to follow your word, to do what you've asked us to do, and to realize it's a dangerous thing to say no to God. Bless us this morning. These that raised their hands, and perhaps others that did not, because you know our hearts, help us this day to say, Lord, right now, beginning today, I commit myself to you to be obedient in all that you ask me to do. Watch over us. Bless us, we pray. Keep us in the center of your will, for we ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you.